Bu sana eski şeyler.
Evet.
All right.
It used to be solid.
Mm-hmm. We're back in session. Joe, you have a video for it.
Yes, sir. I have three, and it'll be very quick. Kathy, if you could kill the lights, please. That way they'll show up better. Just to briefly remind the commission, when the VIM study happened this past winter, looking at incidental mortality, VMRC staff was very much involved in the study as well. There are actually 19 staffers that participated in the study in various capacities, from observers helping collect the data or actually doing work with our remotely operated vehicle. We have both VIMS and VMRC have remotely operated vehicles that we can send over. Ours has a 500-foot tether. We can send it down pretty deep and actually do a video look of the bottom. So what we were doing was we would go out with the dredge study fleet when they were out in February and March. A lot of times when they were actually setting up a site, we'd try and do a video of the bottom before they dredged, and then we would come back to the same site, hopefully within the same day or within a couple days or sometimes both, to take a look and see what the bottom looked like after the dredging had come through. The map depicted here shows the different sites that they worked during the study, everything from the high energy area down here toward Lynnhaven, right in between all the pound nets, all the way up above the cut channel up near the San Marcos wreck. So first video will show, and each one of these is fairly short. This is just pre-dredge. This is just showing the little plume you'll see pop up is actually just the ROV kicking up the bottom. But you can see it's fairly smooth. You're not seeing a lot of ripple effect up here. This is in about 40, 41 feet of water up in the northern part of the bay. Very consistent bottom. We actually came across a dead fish, and this was pre-dredge. This wasn't because of the dredge. So this is one of the sites that we worked. This was around February 28th. And just again, it's very smooth going through the bottom there. Now, we were able to, we had to give it a couple hours to settle down. Turbidity would be stirred up by a dredge coming through. So we let the area settle down. We would try to come back if we could within the same day to a site we've looked at. This is a similar site nearby. And this is 6 hours after they had dredged. So you can actually see the trenching effects from the dredge with the divers, the teeth coming through. And there was kind of two areas. You saw this one area that was really heavily disturbed. And then you'd see other areas which were less disturbed. Now, earlier you heard comments about channel dredging. Well, channel dredging digs. It goes very deep. This is crab dredging. If it gets more than six inches down, it's not that common. It's got a six-inch tooth on it, okay? So we're not talking about permanently dredging out for a ship to come through. We're just talking about catching crabs here. So, and you can see in this area here, this is the same area dredge came through here, but you don't see as much of the impact through this area. So it's not always digging deep down. Sometimes it's just right on the surface as well. So we saw this. This was 6 hours after a dredge had come through. 6 days later, we come through a site. Unless you knew a dredge had been through there, you'd think it was just a natural ripple on the bottom. These areas up even in the northern bay do have a lot of current. Our remotely operated vehicle, the ROV, kind of drives like a brick. So if there is any current, it likes to go in the direction you don't want it to go sometimes. So it's always a constant battle. But as we were going along in these areas, 6 days, 7 days after, sometimes 2 weeks after, the only reason we knew a dredge had been there because we would set ourselves up exactly where the dredge had gone through and start looking in that area. And when you look at the bottom here, you don't see as much difference in this shot than you did with the pre-dredge. Okay? So it was earlier a comment was made about 15 centimeters and less, not as much impact on benthos. We're talking about a 6-inch tooth if you use divers. That's less than 15 centimeters. Okay, so this is not comparable to channel dredging. If there was channel dredging 6 days later, there ought to be a channel here so we can drive a boat through here. Now, I did just see a question right before we started. Did we see any dead crabs? Everyone was expecting that when we did this work, we put the video camera down there and we'd see the bottom littered with crabs. We actually did not. We saw occasionally, I'd come up with a whole crab such as this one. Occasionally, we did come across maybe a part or two, a claw, maybe a carapace, occasionally, but not often. We actually, in that 6 hour after area, we were so disturbed. We were told that sometimes the crabs will end up collecting up in the disturbed area. We actually used the ROV to dig into those areas looking, trying to find crabs. And we weren't finding them. Okay? So we did as much as we could with our ROV, pushed it pretty much to its limits, trying to look for any evidence afterwards. And we just didn't see the perception that was being told to us we'd find the bottom littered with dead crabs. Okay? That's a short presentation I can give you, Commissioner.
All right.
Thank you.
Any questions of Joe?
Lights, please, Kathy.
At this point, any questions of anybody that you've heard from thus far? You want to move to the public hearing? All right, let's open the public hearing. I know there are a number of you who want to comment, and we look forward to it. Who wants to be heard first? All right, nobody raised their hand. The public hearing's closed. Ms. Freeman, come on up. Welcome.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Elise Freeman, Pete Freeman, John W. Freeman is my husband. Many of you know him, have served with him. He was a former associate commissioner in Maryland and Virginia for probably seven, almost 8 years. And I have known this gentleman for 51 years. He's been a part of my life. 50 of those years, he elected to go into the water business. Now, I don't know if he did this because of this was his heritage from his dad or exactly what his reasonings was. He loves the water. He always did. He is a man that has worn many hats. He is of great insight into the profession that he had hands-on experience in. And I think that I'm behind the scenes. I hear a lot at home. I am aware of a lot of things through the years. And I can't believe I'm actually standing here today before the commission myself, him having served on the commission in all of our history. But I'm standing here for out of concern, actually. I don't have a presentation to present to you. We were called recently about this. He served on the advisory committee. He was on the Chesapeake Bay cleanup program. He has concerned about the overall resources and the overall environmental concerns of everything pertaining to this waterways, the whole waterways of Virginia, of which he even helped to preside over. I go back to, I want to make a comment, first of all, about this man and his insight. We are looking at things, and I think it's so interesting to see all of these presentations and all of this studies that have been done, and I commend these people that have done these surveys. I think it's a wonderful thing that the consideration of the possibility of opening up this crab dredgery again. I think it has put hardships on, but I must quickly say my husband was on the commission helping to close this resource because there was concerns there. I am aware of everything just about you have touched on today. This gentleman that just presented this, how this dredging affects. There are 6-inch and 7-inch dredges and all of this kind of thing. And, my husband, I've heard him talk about, the concerns when they were thinking about closing this up, to how much damage is caused to these crabs. If you have a 6-foot dredge versus a 7-foot dredge, is this going to, I've heard them say, let me say first, you can go over this area and you get nothing. And I thought about this when this gentleman showed this picture here, and then you can go back over it another time, and all of a sudden you hit this big, massive bed of crabs, if you will. But this man that I've been married to for many years, most of you probably, those of you know him, don't even know that I've been behind the scenes and out of concern for this overall resource in every aspect of it. He actually would go to the General Assembly. He has never had any recompense for anything that he has ever done. He's done this willingly, the times that he served on the commission. And he has caught a lot of rebuttal from people, even in the industry, the buyers, the packers. I mean, direct confrontation to me at times. And I rebuttal back, you know, you sow good seed, you know, you plant, you know, this kind of thing. Well, he has gone to the General Assembly many, many years ago. He'd clear his throat and he would stand up because he's a heart person and he would speak from his heart and he would let people know what he knew of his profession. So, I mean, I've been here all along, and there again, I can comment somewhat, you know, just from my exposure of all of his experiences. So I'm not telling you everything I know, but I do have insight into. But what brings me here today and want to speak to you is I am very concerned. I recognize that when this industry was closed, like you probably do, it brought hardships on people, you know. But there was legitimate reasonings to close this resource. And I understand, and I commend you that you're, you know, considering reopening this. And having said that, if you reopen it, you know, you're going to have to reopen it with strict guidelines. He gets all of the materials from this commission. He sets and reads them. He had a massive stroke beyond our control in 2009. He was actively involved in everything pertaining to, even when he wasn't serving on the commission. And after he had this stroke, he still reads his materials and things, and if it's anything that he is greatly concerned about, he will bring it to my attention to want me to address it, because we had four sons, three actively serving or working hands-on in the waterways of these tributaries, and two at present, as do many other families. Now, I don't know how many watermen actually work in these waterways, but I would probably assume that there is not as many as it has been. A lot of the older watermen, like my husband, I don't know whether they are deceased. I don't know whether they are just, you know, changed their profession or whatever. But I'm greatly concerned. He got a phone call. We got a phone call. And having served on the advisory committee, I was asked, made aware of this, and they would appreciate me bringing him to this committee, of which I did. Now, this is what I'm doing standing here today, the reasoning behind this. I sat and I listened about the reopening of this crab dredge industry. I listened about the number involved. And I had to leave. I mean, I needed to address some things with him, and I needed to leave. He indicated I needed to leave. It's by observation and gesture. I'm his sole caregiver. And when we left, the meeting was not over. I called Commissioner and the BMRC to apologize for, you know, having to leave so abruptly like that, so as not to be rude. But after leaving, I wanted to make sure that I didn't oversight anything. My husband cannot fish these waterways anymore. He cannot serve on this commission, but we do have sons, and also many other watermen, however how many number there is, has sons that work. And this is their livelihood. This is their heritage. And so I came back to the commission the next day to the fisheries office. But what I learned, I was very concerned about. And that's what really brings me right here right now. And my concern was, I've always had a concern about transferring of license since my husband has had the stroke. I have always been concerned about the heritage of the watermen, as has my husband. And what I learned was that I would not be considered having an agent. Now, one of our sons was in a position to step into, otherwise we would have been in a devastating position when all of a sudden, you know, they tell you to prepare for 30 days in the event of something hits your life. I would tell you 3 years is an understatement. You know, to prepare for, in the event that something actually hits your life, like has hit ours. One of our sons was able to. The other one has a family and couldn't divide and make a business arrangement with me to continue. And I got a feeling there might have been. I don't know this. I don't have any facts in front of me to say that there might have been other watermen that was affected like this. But I am concerned about this, and I told the commissioner's, the fisheries office, that I was concerned. You know, I'm not in conflict with anyone. I'm concerned not because of our well-being. I'm concerned about other people that might be affected as well. I left this office, the commission office, and I had to pick up a prescription, and my concern grew. So I called back the commission, and I wanted to know, I want to make sure, and I'm not assuming there would be any discrimination, never, but I wanted to make sure if my husband was targeted because he had a stroke, how many people, I said, I'd like to know who these people were of this 49 people that's going to be allowed to go back into this pilot program of if this fishery is opened back up. I'm concerned I want him to make sure. And I would hope that this commission and any commission that ever is that sits in your positions would take into consideration how many people that you're legislating over. And for their protection, I'm aware of the delayed entries. I'm aware of a lot of stuff about this, all of this. But if we legislate our men out of the industry that is their profession, and I had a thought prior to coming here, it's like Shakespeare said, we are world and the stage. You know, we all play a part in this. One is not greater than the other. It's not what position we hold, but it's what we do with that position. You know, how we carry it out. And I would hope that the watermen would have positive, honorable reporting things. You know, I would hope that the commission would consider the fact of making sure that there was an open door for these watermen that come along behind to protect their heritage, to make sure that there is transition of licensing, transfer of licensing, and also to make sure that they have agents if that is necessary, because people can fall in the same situation that we're in. And I pray that you'll just take my concerns into consideration. And before, when I came to this advisory committee, the advisory committee, I'd like to say this quickly. I wrote out things for my husband. I looked at the material, and he pointed to things that he wanted me, and I wrote this correspondence and dropped it off at the commission office. And it stated, and he was in agreement with this, and it's things that I'm speaking of now, to protect the heritage of the watermen, and you know, basically to thank you, I don't know if I put that in those words like so, to thank you for your consideration of this, and I commend you on that. I think it's a wonderful thing. But one thing I said that to say, if you only do this on a one-year study, and I learned from the day I came through here, you know, you have to have your governing body. You know, it's like a speed limit. You can, you know, and there's always going to be a rogue. I hope that is appropriate word. Somebody's going to break the law. Reasons why we have to have these governing bodies. But, you know, I hope you'll hear my heart today and consider these that you are governing over. And never let there be a day that their heritage is not protected, because there'll be no need for legislation. There'll be no need. But thank you very much for listening.
Thank you. Who's next? Yes, sir.
Members of the board, good afternoon. My name is Phil Davey. This is the first time I've ever appeared before this board. I'm a maritime lawyer over in Norfolk. I'm not a scientist, and that's probably a lot of the reason that I'm a lawyer. But I'd like to think that I've learned a little bit about analysis. And what I've heard today suggests to me that the work that the commission has done over the last 4 years in imposing a moratorium on winter crab dredging, which is the topic of this hearing, is not enough. There are other aspects of the fishery that need to be regulated if we're going to bring the biomass back. And I would like for the commission to be considering limitations on the springtime fishery, which I believe Dr. Lipsius suggested has some of the larger contribution to the reduction in the overall fishery. And also the pitter potting, which attracts a disproportionate number of female crabs into the fishery. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Who's next? Ken, come on up.
Ken Smith. Before I get to everything, I'd like to address a question that Mr. Neal asked Rob a little while ago about the survey that went out. The 1,500 that went out and the 400 and some that came back. If the regulating body, I'm not a dentist, so I excuse me when I butcher your profession here, but if they would just classify dentists as two types of dentists, there's the cosmetic dentistry where they put in implants, and then there's the regular dentistry where you put in partials and you clean teeth. If a survey went out and said, are you in favor of closing down the implants to all the dentists, then the other dentist would send back and say, yeah, I am, because then I can put in more partials. Just an example. Let's say Mr. Erskine's, for example, who works for probably the two largest oyster packers in the state. If a survey were sent out and said, do you think that all private ground should go into the Baylor survey to all the oystermen? The oystermen would say, yeah, because that would give them a chance to catch more oysters. If we're gonna regulate, we've got to regulate by what science says and not what just a survey of popular opinion would say. Anyway, my name's Ken Smith. I'm president of the Virginia Watermen's Association. I sit on CMAC, the Crab Advisory Committee, and I've been a part of the industry panel from the beginning. I was part of CMAC before the 208 came up, so I've seen it all from the beginning and where we are today. During this time, I've never seen industry, science, and BMRC come together like they have on this plan and proposal for the crab dredge. I really take great pride in what's been done here. I'll say this too, that in all the years that I've sat on CMAC and been in front of this commission, never once, and I mean this, never once has the commission voted against staff recommendation. Staff's recommending right now to let the pot season go to the 15th, opening up the dredge season. I see a lot of reasons to open up this dredge season, especially with the plan that's been proposed here to you all. I really like this idea of 1,000 bushel cap. Now, could be less than that depending on the number of crabbers that are going to be in it, but industry seems to think it's going to be somewhere between 25 and 30 crabbers that will participate. If it's 25 crabbers and they're given 1,000 bushels, they'd be taking less, they'd be taking 500,000 pounds less than what staff has recommended. This crab, part of what industry's done here is we've worked with an economist at Vince, and we want to find out the value of this one of crab. Last year, I think Rob said that the crab averaged $1.02 a pound.
101.
That's $40 a basket. That's $40,000 for 1,000 bushels of crabs. How many crabs do you have to catch in the summertime at $12 a basket to come up with $40,000? We're managing a fishery right now that's an open derby. We're going out there, you're opening the fishery up. Everybody goes out to catch as many crabs as they can to try to outfish the other guy. Prices of crabs go down. There are people out there, and I'm sure some of staff knows it, some of you commissioner know it, a lot of the watermen know it, that are probably fishing 2 and 3 rigs. What type of mortality is happening on that third day, that second day? What's being proposed here is a controlled fishery. The crabs are going to be tagged. The baskets are going to be tagged. You're going to know what's caught. Mandatory reporting. I tell you, the commission of the staff even went to a more lenient reporting system than what industry proposed. Industry wanted daily electronic reporting from both the buyer and the seller, so we'd have real-time data. Gentlemen, I just think this is an opportunity to look at a new type of management, one that puts more money in the crabber's pocket. And maybe if this can go ahead with the study that's done by the economist, that we can bring it into the regular season, and there's a chance that we could end up catching less crabs and making more money, and that would really be a conservation measure. I thank you.
Thank you. Who's next? I'm getting this feeling that everyone wants to be the last speaker. And that must mean that the commission's only capable of remembering what the last person said. Is that what you're implying? Ida, come on up.
Good afternoon again. My name is Ida Hall from Kilmarnock. I have been a commercial crabber and gill netter for over 40 years. And I'm the fourth generation of my family to work on the water, so I have a background and a heritage in the fishing and crabbing industry that I value with the watermen. Go through. I recognize these guys are the real watermen out there. I've also been privileged to become a member of the Blue Crab Industry Panel since January of 2013. I guess they figured if I was going to keep coming to the meetings since they opened them, they just will make me a member. For me, it's been an incredible learning experience to get to know the watermen and the sacrifices that they faced when the crab dredge fishery was closed. I also serve as secretary of the Virginia Watermen's Association, and I am and have always been outspoken in my support of watermen, and I never did support the 2008 closure of the crab dredge fishery as a means to restore the crab population. Years ago, some of my own family did dredge crabs, but as working watermen, they also fished an oyster, which was typical then. You did not really impact one particular fishery always 100%. You had other avenues of marine resources. However, having said this, at this time, I just do not support reopening a limited crab dredge fishery primarily because of the fragile status of the crab population, because 54% of the commercial crabbers who responded to a recent VMR survey opposed reopening a limited 2013-14 crab dredge season, and because the unfair bushel limits proposed as a conservation equivalency target the smaller crab pot licenses. I do support VMRC staff's secondary alternative that would involve the Commission maintaining a closed 2013-14 crab dredge fishery season, but adopting management triggers as a basis for a future limited reopening of this fishery. This is wise and cautious management and would allow more input on conservation equivalency measures. The Blue Crab Industry Panel was formed with the mission of developing a long-term plan for a biologically and economically sustainable year-round blue crab fishery. How can reopening a limited crab dredge fishery, even with the conservation equivalencies that offset harvest, be biologically and economically sustainable when crab potters this year could not harvest enough crabs to make a living? Where will future generations of crabs come from? There have been and always will be fluctuations in the crab populations for many reasons independent of this crab dredge fishery. Crabs are resilient, but until we know more definitively what happened to the hundreds of millions of juvenile crabs last year and how quickly the crab population will rebound, the risk of reopening a limited crab dredge fishery now threatens the future crab population for all crabbers and is inconsistent with long-term sustainability of the resource. Lifelong watermen in their 70s and 80s have witnessed many fluctuations in the crab populations, but two that I have contact with crabbing have commented to me that they have never seen a year like this one and question where are the crabs going to come from when they aren't seeing any small crabs, or certainly not an abundance of small crabs. Opening the dredge fishery at this time makes no sense. But what I've also heard is that no waterman that I have spoken with, and certainly I'm included in this, none of us want to see the crab dredge fishery closed permanently. Marilyn Crabber and chairman of the Potomac River Fisheries Commission, Crab Advisory Commission, Bobby Borman, in a conversation I had back in September, wondered if there are even enough male crabs to impregnate the females. That's a scary thought. This is a bay-wide fishery. Maryland, Virginia, and the Potomac River Fisheries Commission have worked together in managing this shared resource. I understand a little bit better, but I still don't fully understand how VMRC can justify recommending reopening a limited crab dredge fishery this year when the majority of the crabbers, working watermen, who responded to their survey opposed reopening the fishery this year. And, you know, what was the purpose of the survey? Neither I nor every crabber that I talked to oppose crab dredging, as I said before, but simply feel that this is the wrong time to reopen it. Some of those that did not respond to the survey felt that VMRC won't listen to what a waterman says. I urge this commission to make your decision wisely, cautiously, and with foresight to the future implications any decision you make will have to all commercial crabbers and all segments of the crab industry. I would ask that you only place bushel limits that are fair and equitable to all crab licenses. I think, if I remember correctly from Robert Rowley's display, that the largest percentage of the crab licenses were in the 255 pot license and up. but according to a local commercial crabber and crab buyer, it is the smaller crabber that keeps the fishery going. My own cousin Hal, a waterman all of his life, never fished more than 70 pots well into the 1980s, and he regularly caught barrels of crabs. The smaller crab pot license is already restricted by the number of pots allowed. Secondly, I would ask that you reopen the crab dredge fishery when the crab population is more plentiful and stable. This is not the appropriate time, and the 2013-14 crab season should remain closed. I thank you.
Thank you.
I don't know if I can...
Sure, yeah. That's fine. Thank you. Who's next? Doug, come on up.
Thank you, Commissioner Travelstead, members of the board, Doug Jenkins with the Trend River Watermen Association. I'm also one of those persons that Ida was speaking of, 70 and 80 years old, and I've been crabbing 65 years. Most often, one waterman doesn't oppose something that will benefit another waterman, unless it has a negative impact upon the overall fishery. Opening crab dredging again with stocks so low will certainly have a negative impact on the spawning stocks of the female crabs, since records show that 90% of that catch will be mature females. A lot of crabbers in our area have been releasing female crabs for several weeks now, so they will return to the spawning area. This is part of the Bay-wide 10% reduction plan to help rebuild spawning stocks. It seems to me opening crab dredging is an unwise request at this time. This is a Bay-wide fishery. Maryland, Potomac Rivers, and its tributaries, Great Wicomico, Rappahannock, and other parts of the bay, have only caught about half the crabs this year as they caught last year. My son and I set and feast 300 crab pots from April to the last of August. We averaged 51 bushels a month. That's about one crab for every two pots per day feast. We crab in the Rappahannock, but I have talked with other crabbers in New York and the James River, and they are telling me their catches are low as they've ever been as well. Crabbers in my area are suggesting quotas. Each crabber a certain number of tags each year. Once they've used their tags and catch their quota, he's finished for the season. Only fair way to ensure that all crabbers have an equal part of the resource, which should be beneficial to us all, rather than just a few. What we should be discussing now is a plan to build our crab stocks up, so once again we might have a healthy crab fishery, and then we can consider dredging. I mailed each of you some pictures and scientific facts. Please take time to read it. You owe it to the citizens of this state. Thank you.
Thank you.
Also in that package of literature, I sent you my phone number, If you have any questions regarding anything or the liability of that scientific data, I'll be glad to chat with you.
Who's next? Chris?
Good afternoon, Mr. Commissioner and Associate Members. My name is Chris Moore. I'm the Hampton Roads Senior Scientist with Chesapeake Bay Foundation. As Rob alluded to, you had our letter and hopefully you did get the chance to read it, so I'll keep my remarks brief. First thing I wanted to do is thank BMRC staff, representatives of the blue crab fishing industry, Virginia Institute of Marine Science, the Crab Management Advisory Committee members, and other organizations who have analyzed options for consideration during this meeting. We believe this work has added immensely to the management of this iconic Chesapeake Bay species. We also believe the study completed this past winter, cooperatively, between the Virginia Institute of Marine Science, BMRC, and the industry, has provided a much better understanding of the blue crab dredge fishery on the resource and resolved some long-standing questions about this fishery. Last year's winter dredge survey revealed the overall population of blue crabs had fallen to approximately 300 million crabs, just over the level seen in 2008 that prompted adoption of a new scientific-based conservation management plan for the fishery throughout the Chesapeake Bay region. More importantly, the number of small crabs recorded by that survey was found to be the second lowest in the time series. These low numbers have been confirmed by very poor catches throughout the Chesapeake Bay fishery over the last year. These low numbers indicate that caution should be exercised when considering changes to the fishery that may lead to increased catches, especially when a large percentage of that catch would be female. Due to the current status of the stock, CBF cannot support reopening the winter dredge fishery at this time. We truly hope this reduced abundance we are currently experiencing in the blue crab population will be short-lived and we quickly return to the much higher abundances seen after the management plan took place in 2008. CBF strongly believes that a trigger would aid in BMRC's decision-making process related to the winter dredge fishery in the future. However, we do not believe the necessary work has been completed to appropriately guide the Commission to adopt a trigger today. We encourage the Commission to continue those deliberations along with CMAQ, and we hope that, as Rob stated, the Commission will seek CBSAC review of any trigger before it's brought to you all for adoption. As already stated, with the current status of the stock, CBF also cannot support extension of the season this year. We are supportive of the revised license-specific bushel limits for the 2014 season. We believe the review of the bushel limits by the CMAQ committee and BMRC staff has significantly strengthened the conservation benefit of these limits and provided additional equity in the fishery for the fishermen who participate. Finally, CBF continues to emphasize that controls on the blue crab fishery are only one part of the formula for restoring the Chesapeake Bay blue crab population and the Chesapeake Bay blue crab fishery. Degradation of water quality, loss of critical underwater grass habitat, and the resulting predation continue to limit the abundance of this iconic Chesapeake Bay species, and efforts to improve water quality will only help the rebound of the blue crab population and result in a more robust fishery. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next speaker. Billy?
Y'all may want to take a five-minute break, but I'll be as brief as I can. My name is Bill Mullis. I'm chairman of the Virginia Blue Crab Industry Committee, and it's kind of been a privilege. I'm like Ida. I've learned a whole lot through the group, and I do have a lot of experience crabbing and a lot of experience as a waterman. I started crab dredging in Davis Creek in Matthews in 1975, and I was crab dredging in 2008, the last year the fishery existed. And I'm also part of Virginia's sea scallop fishery fleet and been involved in that since 1990. So I understand fishery management. I went to all the meetings in New England where we developed Amendment 4 in the Sea Scallop Fishery Management Plan, and we today have the world's most successful wild-caught fishery and the largest value of any fishery in the world today. And I'd like to remind everybody that fishery is an exclusive dredge fishery. But there's some misconception maybe about a dredge. Scallop dredge isn't really a dredge. It's a metal frame to hold our bag open. And what really drags the bottom is a 5/8 sweep chain. So we really don't have the interaction with the bottom that people think we do. And I applaud all the work that was done, the science that talked about, the scientists that talked about the bottom and the interaction. I just want to warn us, let's not compare dredge and shipping channels with a ship with a suction dredge and a rotational cutting head on it and 24-inch pipelines going to Craney Island with a crab dredge. And let's also not compare a crab dredge with a scallop dredge, because believe me, there's a tremendous difference. And some of the surveys were pointed out. I've got recent rebuttal on some of that stuff. The damaged scallops in Canadian waters were in stone bottom, and their dredge isn't even the same dredge we pull here in America. So there's some distinct differences, and I just want to warn us to be careful when we look at bottom damage. Let's not compare bicycles to tractor trailers, and to make sure we just got that in perspective. But I do appreciate the work everybody's done. I want to thank really the staff, industry, CBF, EDF, and Chesapeake Environmental Group. Everybody's been watching this. And I want to thank Rahm and his staff at VIMS. They did some great science interacting with industry for this crab survey this past winter. And what I really want to do, because a lot of people won't get up here and speak, and I probably shouldn't be, but I am. I really like to, not to open the fishery this year, but the concept to open the crab dredge fishery with the rules we've worked on. It's a very limited fishery. It's going to be extremely responsible. And I'd like to ask for a show of hands in the room, not to open it this year, not when, but support to open the fishery in general. If I could just have a show of hands of people that would support opening the crab dredge fishery with some of the parameters we have discussed and will discuss, I think we've got a lot of support. Okay. On the economic side, I know a lot of letters, CCA, different groups write letters. It came to me from Chincoteague Island. You know, if you've never been a crabber, you might not want to vote to be a crabber. So let's use some common sense when we try to use a survey that went out to the crab community itself. If I had never crab dredged in my life and not experienced it, and I was strictly a peeler potter or a crab potter up a river, I certainly wouldn't vote to open crab dredging either. It's pretty well common sense. So I think we need to look at the human nature side of this. And there's something else that I'd like to point out is economics. And before I get into some other subjects, is recreational sector fishermen always like to remind the commission of how much their fishery is worth in the state of Virginia and talk about the infrastructure. But I'll tell you all this. I'm a very avid speckled trout fisherman. I spend nowhere in a year speckled trout fishing what I do equipping a vessel to go for a week to crab dredge, or what these guys spend to crab pot. They buy fuel, they buy bait, they buy ice, they buy groceries, they employ other people, people repair their rigs, they employ shipyards to paint the boats, and there's a lot of vertically integrated infrastructure in these fisheries. So people that hook and line fish aren't the only people that spend money, and I'll guarantee you it costs more money for one of these guys to go crab pot than it does for me to go to Piankatank, which I did last Wednesday, and speckled trout fish. I use 12 gallons of gas a year, and I got a whole box of mirror lures that I use over and over and over. So it's very limited what I put in to this state's economy as a hook and line fisherman, and I'm an avid hook and line fisherman. I live on my jack, it's in my backyard, and I go all the time. I steal a morning and a night. But when we really look at the economics, I spend a lot more money commercial fishing on one scallop trawler in a year here in the state of Virginia for insurance and shipyards and infrastructure than people that will spend hook and line fishing in their entire life. And I just want y'all to consider that, is pay attention to who's speaking and what their background is. I think with the most recent VIMS study done, we have the best and most accurate understanding of mortality association with dredge gear to date. A few years ago, I came to CMAQ fussing, as y'all know I can, and I held up a study that was about dredge mortality, and it was fairly old, but it didn't show a huge mortality then, and the new study still didn't show it. And I just want to applaud what happened with industry and the survey work that was done. The VIMS staff, I think, has done an outstanding job putting that many days in the bay and finding the resources to do what they did, and I really want to applaud that effort. And I said it at CMAQ last week, And I want to say it again, this is the first time that I've felt that industry, science, and this commission has come together and started to change the way we'll do business for the future. And that's really what I'm hopeful of. I saw it done on a federal level, and I can believe it can be done here in the state, to where industry feels like they're better heard and they just feel better about their resource and interacting with the management team. So I just think it's really important we keep that in mind. We have had the best and most accurate understanding of mortality for dredge gear than any other gear in the fishery, including crab pots, peeler pots, scrapes, and shedding floats. And I'm not sure there's any recent studies on the other gear types. So I don't want to get too hung up. There's only one study on this. Well, the fisheries that are open, there's probably zero studies on those that are this recent. It's a fact. The combined with the other elements of the proposal, hard catch limits, what we know as attacking federal fisheries, individual quotas, mandatory electronic harvest reports, greater enforcement through bushel tags, and seasonal closures of hard bottom, this pilot or this fishery could be, and it would be, if open, the most accountable sector of commercial fishing in not only just the state of Virginia, but bay-wide today. And there's some key points in it. Limited participation by previous dredgers who relied on the dredge sector. I agree with Ken Smith. I really don't think, I know very well who the people were crabbing. I was one of them. I doubt you'd have 25 boats, and I doubt we'd use even 1 million pounds of the 1.5 million proposed. Total cap on crabs that can be harvested by the gear each season, and a division of that cap among the user group in that fishery. And it would allow for each participant in the fishery to make a business decision on whether he had a boat to fish bad weather days, whether his buyer wanted it. If he had a hot market, he might go get an order and send it to Pittsburgh. But he can make business decisions based on his own crab business and his action. Meaningful conservation equivalents, so harvest effort is really not increased. Prohibition of dredging again on the sandy or hard bottom to reduce discard mortality in that fishery. And required electronic reporting or hailing, so there's a significant higher accountability in the fishery. And it should, no matter what gear is used to harvest crabs, it's most important that all the harvest is accountable for, and a total harvest caps are not exceeded. And we'd like to see the fishery reopen. We had originally asked for it as a pilot, but I think we really want just to see the fishery reopen. And I think we've got more work to do here, and y'all will probably be surprised to hear this, but I want everybody to listen closely. I'm the chairman of the industry panel. I asked for a show of hands of people that want the concept of the fishery open, and I got a pretty good response. We as an industry panel agree that our timing is bad. Okay? I have a split panel. We're not unanimous. So I cannot stand here and represent the Virginia Blue Crab Industry Panel and tell y'all that we recommend opening the crab dredge fishery for 2013 and 2014. What we would like to ask the commission to do and would like to ask everybody to take in consideration is take a very close look at the management measures that have been put forward through the CMAQ and adopt those measures for when the fishery opens. And I would like to ask the commission, just like CBF did, to work on a target, a trigger, a biomass trigger that would open the fishery. And then what I'd like to see is when the fishery is open through a trigger, a target biomass, that the fishery remain open and according to the survey that it's regulated up and down with its portion of the state's fishery from then on. If the overall fishery goes down, the tack that goes into the dredging can go down accordingly, and y'all can do other measures to deal with the other type of harvest according to what your science says. But I think that'd be the smartest for everybody in the room, and it's what we've been after for a long time, is to really be able to speak for industry in agreement with this staff that's done all the work. And I just want to compliment them. They have put a tremendous amount of time in that. Joe Seminole has given up many, many Sundays for a few years now to attend every single meeting we've had, and Rob O'Reilly's been to our meetings, and we've really come a long ways as a group. And that's really what I want to focus on, is how positive the experience has been, really, to get to where we are today. I think we're very close to being able to reopen the crab dredge fishery in a very responsible manner. But as I said, and this is important, we feel like the timing is not now. The timing would be to adopt the type of measures we need to reopen the fishery, have all that work done and canned, so we're all in agreement on how to approach it when the day comes. And I'd like to see us set a biomass trigger that reopens that fishery automatically according to the survey. And once it's open, it stays in place and it's regulated accordingly with its small piece of the pie. And I'm available to answer questions, you know, for anybody, any of my watermen in the group. I feel like I represent a lot of them. And I know some of them are probably shocked as to what I'm saying, but it's a fact that our industry panel is split, that we don't have 100% support. We've had some of my panel members up here already, and some of them are for it and some of them are against it. And what I urge the people in the room to do is come to this microphone today and take your opportunity to tell this commission what's on your mind. And I appreciate everything that y'all have done, that the scientific community has done, and Rob and his staff has done. And I want to say that our industry panel is poised and ready to continue to work with staff, science, and this commission for the future of Chesapeake Bay and the benefit of the blue crab fishery. And it's just like our federal fisheries. When our fisheries get down to where they're economically in critical condition, the fishery is no good for anyone. And believe me, these watermen sitting behind me in this room, they don't want a fishery that's no good for anyone. And that's what we need to work on. And I honestly believe that the commission is going to have to do other things other than close crab dredging, because we've said here and said today that this is the worst harvest in 24 years. If closing the crab dredge fishery was a saving grace, something didn't work. And if that's not what's working, y'all have more work to do, and we're willing to help you do that through the industry panel and look forward to that interaction. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brother. Just I was going to reserve these comments for later, but I want to thank you and the industry committee for all the time that you have spent on these issues and the long list of other issues that we provided to you about a year ago. I know that you and your group have spent countless Sunday afternoons in intense discussions, and I think the commission benefits from that. I continue to be a big supporter of the industry committee, and regardless of what happens here today, I hope that the committee will continue to forge ahead with all that long list of issues and continue to come back to us periodically to let us know what's on your mind, what you're thinking. Don't wait. I'm going to encourage you not to wait until an issue gets to this point. But, you know, come back every couple of months and inform the commission what you're working on and where you're headed.
And I appreciate that, Jack. And, you know, a lot of our meetings early on were feeling our way along, deciding how to operate and how we're going to run ourselves as a body and how to interact with the commission. And I welcome that opportunity. Like I said, we're poised to continue to do what we're doing. I hope, and it's an open invitation, we're meeting again this Sunday in Hampton, Virginia at the Crown Point Plaza. And anybody can attend our meetings. They're open to everybody in the state, whether scientific community, John Public, or anybody that's involved and has an interest in the state's fishery. So I think we're in good shape to work together for the future. And I personally am somewhat of a visionary. I believe in people, and I believe in trying to work through problems. And like a lot of your issues, they're not that easy. We deal with the same thing with industry level. We'll get in there, we'll argue with each other, and we'll come out and we'll say, but what can we do for the benefit of the overall fishery? And like I said, believe me, the people that are interested in crab dredging opening, they don't want the demise of other crabbers or anything else or a split between user groups. We all wish for a healthy stock in the state and a new style of management down the road. And like I say, I think the industry can offer a whole lot from the panel, and I'm inviting people in the room to come to participate in that and continue to grow this basis we have to be able to work with the scientific community, to work with your staff, and to come before the commission and say, we've worked this up, at least it's what's on our mind, and I appreciate y'all being willing to listen to us. And thank you so much, Jack.
Thank you. Who's next? Anyone else? Yes, sir. Hi.
My name's Ty Farrington. I'm amazed. I can't believe Billy just came up here and said what he said. He's the chairman of the Blue Crab industry, and he chose a side one way or the other. It was a split in the industry panel. But for him to come up here and say he's not in favor of it opening, that's to me, he's choosing the other side. Anyway, my blood pressure's up. My heart's pounding. I've sent every one of y'all numerous emails, so if there's any questions, please feel free to ask me. So I'm going to make this quick. Hey, Ron has made his decision easy. He just stood up here and said that the most amount of crabs that would be benefited to protect are the spring harvest sooks. That's by Crab Pot. Simple. I mean, that's the easiest solution right there. The bushel limits used to open a dredging will save more spawning age females in keeping the dredge fishery closed. And now is a better time than ever to save those spring harvest females. By implementing a dredge fishery back into the industry, you will save multiple times the amount of crabs that the dredgers will harvest, especially on attack, by putting these potters on a bushel limit that's low enough to create the conservation needed to save these crabs. These limits will probably make some crabbers not even come out for whatever reason. They don't feel it's going to be worth their time. Make just a quick analysis here. You got three faucets. We got two issues here. We got the resource and the industry. You got three faucets that are working on both of them. First faucet, your potters. Second faucet, your peeler potters. The third faucet, your dredge fishery. Your potting fishery is running 3/4 open now because of the limits that were put on it this year. Peeler potters, they could fill this room with peeler pots if they can catch them. So they're really unlimited. That's something that needs to be looked into. Dredge fishery's been shut off. It's no factor at all. If you don't open up the dredging, it eliminates the year-round supply of crabs that this industry has had and known to have for its whole history. So, anyway, I'm so flustered I can't even think straight right now because I just don't understand how Billy came up here and said what he said. But anyway, like I said, Rom made it simple. We need to protect the spring harvest. If you go with option 5, look at those bushel limits. That's going to increase that spring harvest. That's going to bring a whole lot more crab potters back into the waters, and it's not going to be good for the population. Help this industry out. Help the state's economics out. Open dredging back up. Let us go get what we can get. We're not going to catch our tack. If the crabs aren't out there, how are we going to catch them? We're going to invest a lot of money, go to work, catch what we can catch, and come back. It's not going to be devastating to the habitat, to the crabs, but it will benefit this industry. It will benefit this state. Thank you.
Thank you. Who do we have left that will want to speak today? 1, 2, 3. Only 3 of you? All right. Start here and we'll work our way back.
Hey, how you doing? My name is Mark Stanford, and I'm a crab potter in Lynn Haven. And really, I'm going to touch upon, you know, something that really hasn't been mentioned today, the extension of the crab pot season. Okay, again, like I said, I worked down in Windhaven. And I guess you've been hearing about the sanctuary. And I don't know if everybody knows the boundaries of the sanctuary or not. But the upper bay, basically, you can work in the bay. You go to the 35-foot depth and you can work. Down in Windhaven, our sanctuary goes to the shoreline. And we are limited when we can crab there. We have basically 6 weeks in the spring of the year, and from September 15th until November 20th at this point. I'd like to see you extend the season this year, basically, to give us more opportunity to fish in that area. You know, as far as crab dredging goes, I'm for it. Is it the right time to open it? I don't know. And again, like I say, I'm a crab potter. I don't crab dredge. I'm terrible at it, and that's just plain and simple. But I don't think that those people should be cut out. I think they should be included in the fishery. All right, thank you.
Thank you. Matt?
Mr. Commissioner, members of the board, Matt Mullen, Environmental Defense Fund. I'm only simply going to echo many of what you've heard today. I think simply and quickly, the EDF fully recognizes the status of the stock and how that may warrant a tremendous amount of caution in determining when to open this fishery. But I did want to focus my comments on when you determine it's appropriate to open this fishery. The management construct, the framework that was developed by industry and approved or proposed by staff is a very solid, very legitimate, very responsible and accountable management framework. It is impressive, to say the least. A total allowable catch, individual quotas, high accountability measures, enhanced enforcement measures, new proposed hard bottom or closed areas on hard bottom, and conservation equivalency, I think, is an incredibly responsible way to manage the fishery. It's impressive. It's laudable, the effort that has been put into this process thus far. I mean, industry rolled up their sleeves, and they worked hard to put the most responsible management framework in front of you today. And then staff took that and ran the details, obviously the minute details. I was thinking when Rob was going through his presentation, frankly, that a baseball statistician would be intimidated, I think. I mean, it's impressive the amount of data and information staff has processed for your benefit today. And then hats off to VIMS, of course, for doing a very, very important study this past winter. You now have, as I understand it, the only quantified incidental mortality rate associated with any gear sector in the fishery. That's important. And so, you know, I think the management framework, whenever this commission decides it's appropriate to open this fishery, the management framework proposed today gives you greater certainty of total catch, improves accountability and enforceability. It provides higher conservation and management performance and could help possibly stabilize the resource, and it affords the flexibility crabbers need to make good, smart decisions, business decisions. And so EDF would strongly support the management framework before you today whenever you decide it's appropriate to open this dredge fishery. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Mr. Hollowell?
My name is Robert Hollowell. Crab dredge for about 30-some winters. In the last few winters, we worked off Ocean View, the settlement coming down the James River from the numbers of people. It's covered all the oyster rocks, all the marine growth over clean to the Chesapeake Bay Bridge Tunnel. And I can, there's no way in the world crabs will ever come back until you do something about the settlement covering the marine growth over. You can go home tonight and take your cinder block and put that in your front yard on your grass and let it set a week and turn it over. There won't be no growth under it. It'll be diet dead. And that's what's happening in Chesapeake Bay. The settlement is covering the whole bay over. And they stopped crab dredging in 1993 in Hampton Roads. It died. The clamming went to the devil. Everything went to the devil. Nothing but the silt took over. And that's the truth. You need to turn a certain amount of this bottom over to get the sunlight to it where your marine growth will grow. And if you don't, you're going to have a dead Chesapeake Bay, and it ain't very far away. Thank you.
Thank you. I assume that was the last speaker. Was I right? Or? Yes, sir. Yep.
My name is Charlie Gregory. I'm a waterman down in Lower Bay, crabbed by Mr. Sanford. You know, we catch our spring crabs, and that's when we make our money. And last year, y'all gave us the opportunity to catch the fall crab. Never got to work in the month of December. We got $50 last year for our crabs. When we got to close, everybody goes to Carolina and buys crabs. That money goes to Carolina. That 2 extra weeks of us crabbing, 3 extra weeks, we didn't catch the projection that y'all anticipated us catching. But it was a lot to us. And if y'all think about it, extra 3 weeks, it's a lot to us. These guys sitting in this room, y'all cut crab dredging out of their livelihood. It's a lot to them. They want to work just like I want to work. And that's why we're all here today.
Thank you. Think about it. Anyone else? I don't want to cut anybody off. All right, seeing none. The public hearing is closed.
Commissioner, I have a few comments. I won't take long.
3 minutes.
Is that additive? No. Okay. Couple things. One, you heard VIMS and staff support the limited opening of a crab dredge season, but you also heard VIMS staff and others talk about the range of female crabs. It's not just in December through February. Those same crabs are sitting waiting to spawn in the latter part of May. This is something that's going to have to be addressed at some point. And the other thing I wanted to mention was CBSAC, in its report, indicated that the 111 million juvenile crabs was within the range of variability of the stock. So CBSAC was not pleased, like any of us, to see that low abundance, but indicated it was in the range of variability. We have an exploitation rate that's been under target or close to target ever since 2008, and that's one of the parts of the control rule. What I see after listening to the public is the same thing that we see at the ASMSC and other management venues. We're all reacting to each and every winter dredge survey. It's a yo-yo effect, and it gets us all. So there should be some work at CBSAC. Joe Grist is the chair of that committee right now. Just as with ASMSC, there ought to be a viewpoint that there can be multi-year approaches to this winter dredge survey so that you know you can stay within the range. We really need to eliminate this year-by-year wringing of hands as we wait for the results. The other thing I wanted to mention is I really would recommend that a roundtable is in order. I'm hoping the commissioner and the commission will agree with that. If it's not a roundtable, then the industry committee, CMAQ, staff, and VIMS should start to meet, because we always wait until the problem is there. So we really ought to wait, is what I hear from the public. No more. We ought to start meeting and hash out these problems for the benefit of all of us. Otherwise, we perpetuate the situation. I've been here for every crab management decision since 1994. And I have to say, it'd be good if we can go forward with some kind of concerted plan. The bushel limits, that's the only thing I want to comment about. They really aren't unfair. It is accurate that 86% of the harvest falls to the two major pot categories, 255 and 425. the bushel limits proposed by option 5 are actually more realistic because they came from industry. But the unfairness, if it exists, is for those in any category that seem to harvest a lot more than anyone else in that category, they take a penalty. And you saw that in the percentages. It's really not about unfairness. Those are my comments, and I really appreciate the comments from the public.
Thank you, Rob. Well done. Any final questions of anyone, or do we want to, are we ready to get into discussion? Joe, could you put the decision matrix?
I've got it. Because I have a question for Rob.
All right. I think it was your first slide, Rob.
Well, I have the decision tree if you want to go.
That's what
that.
I want, the decision tree.
All right.
There we go.
Here we go. Yes, sir.
My question is your proposed biological triggers for the dredge fishery. If they had been in place today, what would we be doing?
If the biological triggers?
Yes. If your proposed triggers were already in place, what would they be telling us to do?
Absent conservation equivalency through the bushel limits, they would be wait until those triggers were met or pulled. The conservation equivalency is why there's a preferred proposal for a limited opening.
All right, I got that, but that's all right. Let's go back to the hypothetical. We already have crab dredge fishery open, same. And but your triggers are in place, and those triggers just apply to the dredge fishery. Right,
that is correct.
Right. Would those triggers be telling us to do anything? Would it be telling us that it's good to open, relax? Would it be telling us to tighten the restrictions? What would your proposed triggers be telling us to do if there was a dredge fishery?
They would say that some action has to be required to lessen the amount of.
Okay, so they would be telling us to take some type of restrictive measures today if we had a dredge fishery and we were using your triggers.
That is correct.
Any other questions?
Can I follow up on that? Would that one of those recommendations be option 5? Would that be one of the actions to put that into place?
The way option 5 is designed is if the commission does not choose options 1 through 4, the closed or the season till December 15th, no opening of the dredge fishery season, then option 5 becomes a standalone option to guide the future conservation management measures. And I would expect that what that should mean is that if we are able to start a multifaceted dialogue with everyone involved in this fishery and industry, that those bushel limits would take a different shape as we move through time, through good times and bad times. I'm not going to pull the slide 25 up, but the one thing I neglected to mention, when you look at the performance of the stock since 2008, there's only one year where there hasn't been a vast improvement in the age 1 plus females, and that's the 97 million in 2012. But 2009, 10, 11, and 13 have actually been improvements. That chart is in your book for reference, but the years before, you're in the hundreds, 110, 120. So I think there has been improvement on that front.
Any other questions? The decision tree that you see there is something I had asked staff to put together with the hopes that it might make at least the process for us a little bit easier. So you see basically 7 issues that the commission will need to decide. And I think they're in somewhat of a logical order. But I, you know, if you're in agreement with that, then I suggest that we start at number 1 and we work our way through until we conclude. Now, some of these are going to take obviously more discussion than others. So, can you go back?
Here's 1.
All right. Well,
staying on it.
So, the first recommendation or decision is whether we establish the 2014 crab pot and pelic pot harvest season is March 17 through November 3rd. Any discussion on the matter's now before the commission? Is there discussion on that?
I move to approve that that season, March 17 through November 30.
Is there a second to that motion?
I'll second it.
Seconded by Mr. Tankard. Any discussion on that motion? I would just say that it's a season that doesn't pose a threat in my mind to the resource next year. However, there's still time when the winter dredge survey numbers come out in April, May. If those numbers were to come back indicating we're in yet another bad situation, there would still be time to modify that November 30 date.
Commissioner, may I?
Adopting it now, I think, sends a signal to the industry as to where we are.
So everyone understands, this is male and female crabs.
We understand.
Okay.
Thank you. So we have a motion that's been seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. Number two, shall the 2013-2014 winter crab dredge fishery be opened? Nothing here about what it would look like if it opens. That's another question before us further down the list. But just the concept of whether it should be opened or not. Discussion on that motion.
AJ's got his hand up.
Yeah. Mr.
Erskine. Thank you, Mr. Commissioner. I just wanted to kind of reiterate, I guess, a comment we've heard throughout this, and that's a thank you to everybody that's put a lot of time and effort into this, and clearly that's staff and industry and VIMS. A lot of good work has obviously gone into this. We've heard that there are people opposed and there are people in favor of opening the crab dredge fishery immediately. I guess I point to some of the numbers that we have, and again, they're estimates on the abundance, but we had, what's troubling is that we had such a high number of age zero crabs, and that didn't necessarily translate into a high number of those spawning age females. We don't understand maybe what happened to those, but that is disturbing, and it has to go to that yo-yo effect that, you know, you talk about in fisheries, and I think we all understand that, and not to be reactionary on just that one number, but I think it does highlight some of the uncertainties around this. If there are more studies that need to be done to this fishery, much like what ROM did and VMRC staff conducted, there was in 2008 federal funding that was appropriated to the crab, you know, fishery when it was declared a federal disaster. And if some of those funds do remain, maybe it could be used to conduct some of the studies that are necessary for the crab fishery. So I do have a hard time thinking for 2013-2014 based on those numbers and some of the uncertainties we have in the crab dredge fishery of opening it.
Any other comments?
What AJ just said. I just repeat what AJ just said. Just the timing is, I don't think this is a good year.
Anyone else?
Yeah.
Mr. Sanker.
Quite frankly, I've read Mr. Farrington's emails, and I appreciate them very much. I think he's very thoughtful, and I've talked to some other folks in the audience who have been pro-crab dredge, and I was surprised, actually, that staff came back with a recommendation of advocating for crab dredge fishery. But when you're at the docks at some of these places and you see the spring crabs coming in such a plentiful fashion, you know they're the same ones that could be dredged up in the winter, you can kind of see this country boy's sense of it. It makes sense that we could think about the crab dredge fishery, which in 2008, when I was here, I figured the testimony we heard from people made it sound so, as you mentioned, that the crab dredge fishery was demonized. It was something we shouldn't entertain. The public was wholeheartedly against it. So I have to say my vision on the crab dredge fishery has transformed itself so that I could see us having in the future a crab dredge fishery, just as Mr. Mullins, I think it said from Hampton there. But I tell you, these numbers, and when you talk to people at the docks, the crab dredge, the crab season has been the worst that anybody has seen. And when I think about that and the idea that we're going to allow dredge fishing in 2013 or 14, it gives me pause. And I couldn't raise my hand to make a motion for the crab dredge fishery, just given my anecdotal country boy logic. So I'll say that, and that's my piece.
This is a subject that's very difficult, and I do appreciate the emails. I think it is a positive sign to see people communicating with us more freely and giving us an opportunity to churn on these issues longer than when we come here and, you know, 9:30 in the morning we get a stack this big and go to it. You know, we start to read through everything. We've gotten far more information. The presentation by Rob and his staff is excellent. The work by Vims is excellent. I think I had a lot of negative connotations associated with dredging that I no longer have, which I think is a benefit. There is a concern by expanding the harvesting types right now. There's this danger, and that makes us all very careful. But I tell you, if the future numbers are good, I want to see something like this go forward. I do. But right now, I don't really see enough evidence to make us comfortable in this decision. We should be comfortable in a decision like this, and I don't think we're ready. So.
Thank you. Anyone else? Mr. Sessions.
I want to echo what Brian said. There just seems to be a common theme. I've had a lot of phone calls, read through a lot of emails, that the season should come in, but now's not the time. That's just the way that I feel.
Let me weigh in. Both of you have spoken. The common theme that I picked up on in the written comments and even here today is concern about doing something this year. And that's not to say that staff and the industry committee and CMAQ have not devoted enough time to this issue. I couldn't be prouder of the work that staff has done, literally thousands of hours put into this. Likewise for the industry committee. We are so far ahead here today on this issue than we have been at any time in our history. I think we're having a real dialogue about what this fishery should look like in the future, and that's precisely what I had asked the industry committee to do, and I think we're seeing some success there. In terms of doing something this year, I think the risk is simply too high. And Mr. Erskine had already pointed out that we had that wonderfully high juvenile abundance number in 2012. Everybody was excited about it. We thought the 2012 fishery was going to be tremendous and it would carry over into 2013, and it just did not materialize. I don't know if red drum ate the crabs. I don't know if water quality killed them. I don't know if they were washed out into the ocean because of Hurricane Sandy or whatever. I mean, the list as to what happened to those crabs can be as long as your arm. But we do know they didn't contribute as much as we had hoped they would to the fishery. And then immediately following behind that, in 2013, we end up with the second worst recruitment number that we've seen in 24 years. And whether or not you believe those numbers, everybody believes that 2013 was a very poor fishery. And I think that proves that 111 number, recruitment number, was a reality. If it was higher than that, we would have had a much better fishery. My concern is that in May, we will see new numbers. And if they continue to be bad, knowing that we had opened the fishery this year, then we're going to be in trouble. And in fact, if the numbers come back poor next year, and nobody can predict that, I recognize that. They could be great, they could be poor. But if they're poor, again, we could be in a position next spring of having to make decisions on how to further regulate this fishery. And that's nothing any of us look forward to, and that's something I want to avoid. I realize the conservation equivalency takes some of the risk away, but I still have concerns about that. In some instances, conservation equivalency is better used first before you start a fishery. Here, we have the cart before the horse. We want to open the dredge fishery, go catch the crabs, and then we want to institute conservation equivalency to save what's left, not knowing what the survey numbers are going to be in the spring. Perhaps a more risk-averse approach would be to implement the conservation equivalency bushel limits for a year. The following spring, you get the survey numbers. They tell you whether the conservation equivalencies were actually saved, mm-hmm. and by how much. And then, using those numbers, you decide to open the dredge fishery. And I think that's what the triggers, essentially, are that the staff has proposed to do. My last comment is that I hope the commission does not throw away all of this amount of work that has been done. I hope that if you vote no on number two, that we do spend some time talking about the triggers and how the fishery could be regulated in the fishery. To me, the worst case scenario here today would be simply to say no and walk out of the room and throw away all that work that has been done, because I think it will be quite valuable to future commissions. It would be nice to have that package sitting right here ready to go this time next year in the spring, or 2 years from now or 3 years from now, so that we don't have to go back through all of this work that so many people have worked on. So I think everybody's had their say at this point on this. Is there a motion?
I will move. Two? Yes, sir. I will move to keep closed the winter crab dredge fishery for the 2013-2014 time period, and that we as a commission take up again this question next year, keeping together what's been submitted to us and taking a close look at it next year.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Is there any final discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. Do you want to spend any time talking about the long list of regulations that staff put together on how the fishery would be regulated? You've certainly heard today. You've seen the material from staff. Is there anything in there that causes you pause that you would like the staff to take another look at?
Got one.
Ms. Haney?
The tagging requirements. It didn't say when the bushels or barrels were to be tagged, whether it was before they left the grounds or at what point in time. Does law enforcement maybe have a recommendation?
That hasn't really been talked out yet. I think the idea would be, we have tagging for striped bass and we have tagging for oysters, so I think it would be a matter of when they land, the bushel should have a tag. So each bushel would have a tag, including a part bushel.
Okay. So that's something staff can give further thought
right.
to.
I think that would be the place to do it. So they could, in the course of the operation of catching crabs, they would be placing tags as they went. I mean, a lot of times they're stacking up the basket, so they'd almost have to do it as they went.
Any other comments on those? Yes.
Is there a slide, Rob, for four with a little more detail on what we're talking about with regards to the triggers?
Number three.
With the trigger,
oh,
yes.
Triggers.
Okay. Yeah, with
the
triggers.
Are you ready to go to the number four?
Well, I thought we'd go proceed to four after a no on two.
Yeah, that's three.
Okay.
All right. Let's talk about the triggers. And Rob, what page is that trigger discussion on in our packet?
Joe, do you have that page number, please?
For the evaluation?
Yeah.
Okay. There we go. Page 15.
So I'd like to just briefly say, since there was a lot of information today, this does give some preference to the juvenile crabs within the triggers. And the reason is it's those juveniles as of March that would be part of a dredge fishery season the following December, January. So the juveniles are really more important. I think there was an indication from Chesapeake Bay Foundation to use the 215 million female one plus trigger. That really wouldn't be the right way to look at this because of the juveniles. The 215 million, if you had that from the dredge survey, again, those crabs are running through the gauntlet of fisheries before they get to December. But the juveniles are very important. But the proposal is that here are the averages for these three, and a positive management change would occur one standard error from the mean. And keeping in mind that you want to look, you can only look at the last year's removal rate, and that has to be somewhat close to the target. You wouldn't want to take an action if you knew in the previous year that the removal rate was 50%, which is way above the threshold.
You had heard staff earlier suggest that, and I think others in the public comments suggest that CBSAC take a look at this.
Right.
And I, you know, to me that makes perfect sense. I think staff's done a lot of good work here, and I think this is very informative and helpful. But just to make all of our partners in the Bay who are also managing this have some comfort level, I think taking it to CBSAC, the Chesapeake Bay's Dock Assessment Committee, CBSAC.
So if I may, this would be a placeholder, the idea that there could be a trigger, and that next time or next year at this time, you would be able to look at that trigger as well as the winter dredge survey results for everything.
I believe it was Chesapeake Bay Foundation in their comments offered another trigger. To me, it appeared to be much more conservative than even these, but that might be something else that we also ask CBSAC to take a look at. In the event they find some fault with this, I don't think they will, something else for them to look at that was recommended by the Bay Foundation. So we can go back to the decision tree. Any discussion on the triggers?
The question was, should a trigger be established? Now, I think it's a great idea, but you know, can we establish that trigger here today?
Right. I think all that staff would recommend today is to determine whether the commission favors this approach. And then, as the commissioner suggested, vet it through CBSAC, and then we can return. We don't have to wait until next year. We can return and let you know what that result is and go from there. But I think we are very hopeful that the commission approves of this approach as such.
Is there any objection to forwarding these to the Dock Assessment Committee?
No.
No. So hearing none, we will proceed in that direction. Is there any other motion with respect to triggers that anyone wishes to be heard on? Mr. Erskine?
Would this also go to CMAC too, or would they be involved with, looking at the results. I guess my concern is CBSAC is, I don't know if it has industry members on there or not.
It does not. It's purely a scientific, and quite frankly, yeah. CMAC didn't get a long opportunity to
No, we did present it for the first
just last
time.
Week, right?
We presented it for the first time to CMAC. And I think since then it's been passed around a little bit. And so I think that, you know, we can certainly find out their thoughts on how they view it once we know what exactly it will be, how much it might change in either direction.
Yeah, as long as, I think is my point being, as long as they have an opportunity to review it, you know, in a timely fashion.
All right. If hearing nothing else, we'll go back to the next, number five. Shall the 2013 crab pot season be extended? Comments on that issue, and when you're thinking about that, you might want to look on page 16 at the bushel limits table as well, because that's the next question.
We did not hear a lot about this issue throughout the testimony. It's primarily focused on the winter dredge, and
Rob, remind us again that the staff is recommending a December 15th season extension. What amount of crabs are estimated to be taken if it's extended?
I think it's still about 200.
250,000.
And really, that's a carryover from 2012, because we don't have a lot of experience with that open of a season, except for 1994 is the last time. And I think as far as the information, staff and CMAC approved having the extension. Some comments in the public approved it. Again, it's, you know, something that probably has to be decided in conjoinment with the dredge season in a way. They are the same crabs.
All right. What's any discussion?
The gentleman from Lynnhaven said it would really help him out, is what I heard from the public hearing,
right.
Is extending it to the 15th. That would be my thinking.
And we did that last year, right, with when Joe was on the,
we had 57% of the crabbers were opposed to that.
Right. That's right.
And the reasoning would be stricter pot limits? I mean, why would crabbers be opposed to extending the season?
Difficult to know based on the survey what they were exactly thinking. In 2012, there was a mixed opinion from CMAC for an extended season, but the majority did want the extended season. There were really thoughts in 2012 from CMAC that it wouldn't be worthwhile. There weren't going to be any crabs to talk about, and just go ahead and stop it November 30th. As it turned out, that extended season was limited, 259,000 pounds. Staff had projected 349,000 pounds. The income was good for some who stayed there, about a dollar, just around a dollar a pound. And the buyer that we talked to, who's here somewhere, indicated that, you know, it was a pretty good product.
Staff is not recommending a quota be associated with this.
No.
It's just you catch what you catch.
Right.
We're estimating it's about 250,000.
Right.
And then you make up for it with bushel limits the following year.
It's back to the spawning potential, although the exploitation rate is on an annual basis, the spawning potential crosses over calendar years. So what we said last year was that we know we're not talking about exploitation rate, we're talking about saving some of the spawning potential for May or later.
But didn't we have bushel limits last year on the extended season?
We did.
Mm-hmm.
We did. We have them this year because we extended the season last year.
Okay.
So the 2012 extension was accounted for
in 2013, and the same situation is applied here.
This is option one,
right?
Correct?
Yes.
In the table. Ms. Haney, you had a comment? A question?
Well, I was just saying, we could put it, we could possibly extend it with bushel limits in place, or is that an option?
We didn't advertise, did we advertise this?
No.
Well, the current bushel limits, the current bushel limits would apply, right?
Yeah, we have bushel limits that go all the way until November 30th now. And those bushel limits, because I had to have a sheet to make sure that I had them with me, are 27 for the 85 pot, 32 for the 127 pot, 38 for the 170 pot, 45 for the 255 pot, and 55 for the 425 pot. So that's what was in effect all the way until November 30th. The reason only November 30th, last year at this time, we didn't know whether there would be another extension. And yes, I guess we could configure the bushel limits to December 1 as we do for a couple of the options. If you look, and I don't know what page it is, but in the evaluation, there's an action table that talks about the five options, and it indicates for the season option that those would fall into place December 1, 2013, November 30th of 2014. So that, Ms. Haney, I think is exactly what you're interested in.
That's on page 16. That's
thanks.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Erskine, you had a question.
I just had a quick question. And would is it safe to assume that most of these crabs that be harvested in that extended time frame would be female, or is that
a large? Right? Yes, a large proportion would.
Okay.
So, but again, that straddles calendar years. Even in March of 2012, 91% were females.
Understood.
You have all your concentration of female crabs.
Right.
Down the lower bay.
Mr. Sessions.
Quick question, and if my notes are right, 46% of the survey folks responded that they would vote for option number one, or extending it to...
On question number one, that's correct.
Okay.
What's the pleasure of the commission?
I'll make a motion that we extend until December 15th.
All right, the motion, is there a second to the motion?
Second.
Seconded by Ms. Haney. The motion is to extend the crab pot season through December 15.
Can I ask a question?
Mr. Erskine.
Just for clarification, would that be with extending the existing bushel limits as well?
That no, not quite. What would happen is on page 16, someone said, you
right.
see option one.
Right. Okay.
That would be selecting option one with the bushel limit of 16.
Right. 16 for the 85 pots. 21 for the 127.
So, Rob, are you saying the motion is to extend the season, that the extended season would be under these new pot limits, and they would carry through all of next year?
That is correct.
Okay.
Okay.
Is everybody on?
All right, thank you.
Can you make that a part of your motion?
Yes, I do. The limits would be as shown on this matrix.
Under option one. All right, everyone understand?
And that's part of your second as well.
I have another. Are we addressing issue six also with this? If we are.
We're addressing five and six.
I'm okay with that.
All right. Any further discussion on the motion? Everyone understand?
Yes.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. Item seven. Establish a declaration date for licensees who are eligible to use agents in 2014.
That is the March 1, 2014 declaration date, and it is a important issue because what happened this year is in our letter we did not have a declaration date, and some just never answered. But we couldn't let others get agents because we didn't know what everyone else was going to do. This will take care of that problem. It's been used for the shad bycatch fishery as well.
Is there a motion to approve the declaration date?
So moved.
Is there a second by Mr. Plumlee? Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Motion carries. I think that wraps up
yes.
the decision matrix.
Yes, it does.
And item 10, is there anything further? Oh, one other just reminder. There is no November commission meeting. Everybody gets the fourth Tuesday off, not staff, the commission. We agreed to December 10th as our combined November-December meeting, so I'll look forward to seeing all of you there. And if there's a motion to adjourn, we are adjourned.
So moved.
Holders didn't get
right.